Everybody, and welcome back to All Talk No Bock. We are on episode 8 of season 2. 28 is a good number because it's composite. I don't know where I was going with that. I'm Heather.
I'm Charles.
And I'm Reese.
It is composite. I just made sure in my head that it is. And we are talking about, since when you listen to this, it will be Groundhog's Day. Of course, we are honoring Pennsylvania Phil, I think that's how you say it, by playing our own little version of Groundhog's Day. If you guys saw the movie, of course you know which movie I'm talking about, the eponymous, is that what it's called? Groundhog Day, with Bill Murray and Andy McDowell. You know that the movie is about, yes, classic, you know that the movie is about a day that just keeps on repeating itself over and over and over again. So in honor of that...
basically the entire 2020 coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah. Correct. Just 2020.
Pretty much.
But way before 2020. And so to honor that and to sort of reflect that theme of today, we are going to talk about baseball players that sort of feel like they're repeats of former players. So we're choosing one active and one retired player. But here's the catch, folks. Because we always talk about the Dodgers and the Padres and the Angels, if I had like a boo, like a, you know, like a thing, like a voice, you know, what do you call that? Like a mixer. And then I press boo.
Do you want me to do it for you?
Boo.
Thank you so much.
Wow, that actually sounded really good. That was like very harmonious.
It was.
That was really good. You guys, the melody was there and the whole thing.
It was.
So
we're our own sound department.
Because we always... Okay. They know that. Trust me. They know. So because we always talk about those three teams, we decided to challenge ourselves a little bit this week. And we're going to talk about two players from the Dodgers and the Padres and the Angels. But then we're going to talk about two players from teams that we are least familiar with. So I chose the Royals, and we gave Reese the Orioles, and we gave Charles the Pirates. I almost forgot there, but I remember.
Woohoo!
Let's have Charles start us off today. He never starts us off. Charles, give us your two doppelganger players from yesteryear and from today, for the Angels, and then for Les Pittsburgh des Pirates. I'm in a mood today, guys. Go ahead.
I love the vibe, Heather. It's some good energy that we got going on. Except there, again, I'd like to preface, there's nothing but love here at All Talk No Bock, all right? We give each other good comments here. But to the Angels, I'm going to start off with my team here, and I'm going to go to the deep blue sea for my two picks here, and my player from yesteryear is Tim Salmon, and player from today, obviously, is Mike Trout. So we got Trout and Salmon. Both are fish. Both are just dominant Angel players. Both Salmon should be in the Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, like, no Angels are in the Hall of Fame. So if anyone deserves it, I feel like Tim Salmon does, even though he leads the Angels in strikeouts, just because he was on the team for a while. But both played outfield, both have a killer arm, both went on decent playoff runs. Trout, not really, but obviously Salmon, we know, won a World Series in 2002. But Trout, he's won one series in his career, nothing to brag about, but at least he's gone on some sort of winning streak. Not everyone can say that, especially my next team. A lot of players on the Pirates can't say anything about that one. So Trout, I mean, he's beating all of Salmon's records. Like I said, the only one that Salmon has are kind of the ones you don't want to have are strikeouts. And, he does still have walks. So he leads the Angels record book in walks, which is awesome. Nobody wanted to pitch to that guy, or he was just on the team for that long. Who knows? But I believe it was because he was that much of a talent and he had an amazing average. He was above 280. Obviously, Trout is above 300 for his career from his rookie year. Both won Rookie of the Year. Both were amazing rookies, and both are, I believe, lifers on the Angels for life. So And Salmon is, or Salmon said that Trout is his favorite player, and they've had many interviews together. They get along really well, so everything is calm, and the ecosystem out in the ocean is very friendly. Trouts and salmons, they get along out there. So
I don't think that's right.
Salmon well, don't even two, live in the ocean, do they?
These two aren't in particular. You know, Reese, my biology is a little dated, and you know, my ecosystem.
Yeah, there's salmon are in the
apes.
Stream.
Wait a second. They could be in the streams, realized. But you know what? This salmon and this trout are connecting, and they found each other at defying okay, all
maybe
odds.
Maybe in an
Reese.
Estuary. Maybe they found each other in an estuary where the freshwater.
Whoa, Reese!
There we go, Reese. Dropping that knowledge.
I love myself some
Reese
science.
With the nuggets over here.
I love that both of them love each other, though, and both were amazing at war. Trout beat Salmon in offensive war and total war, so shout out to both of those guys, my angel heroes. Going over to the Pirates, we have Gregory Polenko and Dave Parker. I mean, these two guys Woo-hoo. Are meant Ooh. To be brothers. They're both about 6'5", 230 pounds. Both played right field, both have big frames, both are known for their arm strength. They got power, they hit for average, they had speed. If you look these two guys up, even just in the same sentence, you're getting articles that are comparing how relatable these guys are and just how much that Polenko is the next Dave Parker, even though a lot of people are saying, you know, as Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my good friend, because Polenko still has a lot to do. And to be honest, Parker's been snubbed of a Hall of Fame entrance for a lot of years now, and I don't know if he fell off the ballot. I believe he did. So just like Salmon, after, you know, 10 years on the ballot or 10 times on the ballot, you're done. So Parker got snuffed just like Salmon did, I feel like. And, you know, when comparing these guys, Parker obviously has a more pronounced career. He's done a lot more. He won a World Series with Clemente and Stargell. He was a 7-time All-Star. He had an amazing OPS, just like Polenko's having, both above 800, amazing. He has a great average, both around 275, both of them. And I don't know if it's a second coming just yet with Polenko. Like, we know for sure that Trout is better than Salmon, to be honest. He's already passed so many of his records. And the only thing that he hasn't done is won a World Series. But I don't know if Polenko is as certain as Trout is to Salmon, but they definitely are comparable, and he's definitely on his way. So hopefully they both Polenko and Trout can win some World Series and catch up to their predecessors.
Well, Trout will have to swim on over to the Dodgers if he ever wants to make that a reality. But I think there's
a couple other places, but hopefully it's an LA team at least.
There's only two LA teams. And the other one's the Dodgers. What are you talking about?
I'm saying hopefully it's an LA team, but there's a lot of other places he can go to win a World Series, is what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be just the Dodgers.
Okay.
He could go to the Braves. Dodgers. Braves are right in it. Braves get Trout. Who knows?
Could
but
be the Padres.
What? So the Padres. Where would Ronald Acuna go?
Acuna's probably. What do you mean? Where would Acuna go? You can move a guy into left.
Okay, but then they're not as good sometimes. Not everybody's Cody Bellinger.
These are all speculations. These are all what ifs. But I'm just saying, Trout needs to win a World Series regardless for him to catch up and be considered as one of these greats that we're talking about. So that's all. Anyway, Reese, who's your Groundhog Day comparison?
Yeah, so I believe I did this assignment incorrectly, but I still, because let me explain. So I see Charles compared two players per team. I thought we were supposed to compare one player on our team with a player on the team we were given. Does that make sense?
It does.
Oh, well, that's what I did.
But let's get our boo button. There we go. Our boo buttons.
Beggars can't be choosers. Boo. Y'all do it for you. Boo. You know what? This is still going to be good. Okay. Don't hold your horses.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Keeping things interesting, first of all.
Okay. Uh-huh.
As I do, yes. We should not be surprised at all at this point. You guys have known me way too long to think that something
Just
like this wouldn't happen.
Just go, Reese!
Okay. So I decided. So as we mentioned earlier, I have the Padres and then the Orioles. So I decided to... Does anyone, first of all, have any guesses as to who I compared?
Tatis and Trey Mancini. That's my guess.
Charles, do you have a guess?
To be honest, not really, because I'm not the biggest Orioles fan in the world. The only comparison, it's not even a comparison. They both just played the same position for the given team at one point, but I don't know, maybe Hosmer and Trumbo. That's not even good. But
all right, so
those are two guys I'm thinking of right
closest,
now.
The closest one was Heather. I did use Fernando Tatis Jr. However,
yeah,
on the Orioles, I compared him to the Iron Man himself, Cal Ripken. Okay, listen.
Oh, my God.
All right.
You can't just pick the two most successful players from a team and say they're doppelgangers of each other.
Damn straight she can.
You have not even heard my reasoning.
Like they're from the same part of the world? Is that one of them? Because that's not true.
Let her give the explanation. Because both of them are shortstop power hitters. And Ripken was a shortstop power hitter before shortstops even had any type of offensive prowess. Okay, listen to me. He literally, not only did he have the famous streak, but that doesn't matter here because that's not what I'm comparing. I'm comparing how excellent they are when they're up at the plate, okay? Listen, so first of all, Ripken holds the record for the most home runs hit by a shortstop at 431. And obviously, Fernando Tatis has only played two seasons, so he's not even close to that record. However, I fully believe he is capable of getting to that point, or at least getting up there, if he doesn't, dethrone Ripken as the all-time home run hitter shortstop. You know, he'll get up there. But my point being is, they're both power hitters. Tatis, for a while in 2020, he was leading the majors in home runs. What I was saying. So Fernando Tatis Jr., obviously power hitter. His average exit speed velocity on all his hits was 95.9 miles per hour, in case you were wondering, which was the highest average in Major League Baseball, might I add. Also, as a rookie, his WRC, so the metric that adjusts for, different ballpark factors. So the average of that is 100 and his was 150, which was 50% better than an average MLB hitter. And that was in his rookie season. So that was at just 20 years old. And he was tied for fourth in the majors last season with 17 home runs. He was tied with Trout, Charles. So there you go. His first career 100 games, he posted a 320 batting average. He hit 8 home runs in 18 games in 2020. His 2019 season, he got 22 home runs, and obviously we know his season was cut short due to injury. So assuming that he had a full season, he definitely had the potential to hit around 40 home runs. That's really impressive for a single season, especially as a rookie. So the point I'm trying to make here, Heather, is that both of them were extremely talented offensive players and defensive players, but that is where my comparison lies between Iron Man and Tatis Jr. Also, both of them were just really popular players, had a lot of flair, a lot of personality. Another thing that I found really interesting was at the time that Ripken was playing, the Orioles were really Baltimore's only professional sports team. And looking at San Diego, that's kind of the case for us as well with the Padres. We don't have an NFL team. We don't have an NBA team. We have the goals, but they're not even NHL. They're a feeder team for the Ducks. And so really the Padres are all we've got. And so it's interesting to draw that comparison because you have these two teams in each of these respective cities that are really the highlight of the city. And they've got their star player, both of whom are shortstops, both of whom are, once again, power hitters. And both of whom people really look up to in terms of their talent and work ethic. Mm-hmm. So I did find a lot of comparisons. A lot of similarities between the two.
Yeah, good role models as well, Reese, for sure. And I feel like Ripken would have been a very popular guy on social media had he been more in our era.
I think so, too. If social media would have existed, I really think that he would have been all over that.
Exactly.
Of course, the biggest difference between the two is that Cal Ripken was literally famous for his durability, hence the nickname. Tatis,
well, yes.
is not durable. So
see, but here's, okay, well, listen, but that once again was not what I was comparing, because maybe at first glance you wouldn't see a comparison between the two of them, beside the fact that they're both, you know, really popular, talented players.
Right.
But their, once again, their offensive prowess is what really just brings them together.
So for the fans, all Reese did was look up most famous Oriole players, and the first one that came up was Cal Ripken Jr.
That is actually not at all what I did. And I did not do that. That's why. That's false.
That's, you know, Baltimore fans right now are feeling a little bit, they're feeling good. That at least we mentioned them. So
we did mention them. Right,
they're feeling grateful. Okay, so yes. I'll go. Are you done? Can I go?
I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done.
Well, I did the assignment correctly. And I guess I will start with the Dodgers, and just to warn the Kansas City fans out there, I mean, I just feel grateful that you guys have the Super Bowl to look forward to, because, my doppelgangers are weak. So, that's a warning, but I tried my best, and I don't, you know, these are teams that we're least comfortable with, and I really don't know anything about Kansas City. So I learned a lot by doing this research. But that's just a warning and a little bit of a qualifier too. So my two from the Dodgers, pretty easy if you boil it down. I chose two Mexican lefty superstars, and I think you guys know who I'm going to use. So Fernando Valenzuela, obviously, is my retired player, and then Julio Urias is my current player, and interestingly, they have a lot in common. While not in style of pitch, Fernando was known as sort of a screwball, curveball, like off speed. He wasn't a particularly hard thrower, and Julio is more known for his, although he's not the fastest pitcher either, but he has a lot of different pitches, but he has a good fastball. But anyway, both of them are left-handed pitchers. Interestingly, they're just about the same height. I think Julio is 6 feet even, and Fernando is 5'11". So they're very, and they have a similar build as well. And I chose them because both of them, especially, you know, they both won a World Series with the Dodgers, and they both sort of brought like a flair to the city. The Mexican fans, I don't want to speak for all of them, obviously, and Julio hasn't had like the greatest track record of all time, but I think they really rallied around these two guys because there aren't a ton of Mexican players in the major leagues, and these are two very talented ones. Obviously, when Fernando, they're both, you know, highly touted or sort of, I guess, highly thought of when coming up. But Fernando more so, you know, as a rookie, he just blew the league apart. He won the Cy Young and Rookie of the Year in the same year, which hasn't been done, I don't think, since, and had never been done before that. And then Julio, while he didn't win Rookie of the Year, he was highly touted as a prospect. And now he's doing great. He's only 24 and he's already been in the majors for like 8 years. I mean, it's just crazy with him. So, both of them are, they have sort of a similar build. Not really a similar look, but sort of a similar spirit within the city itself. And obviously Julio, both came up clutch in their respective World Series. Julio, very recently, he closed out Game 7 of the Braves series, and then he also closed out Game 6 of the Tampa World Series. So those are my two pitchers from the Dodgers. I guess those maybe were a little bit boring, but I think you guys will get a kick out of my Kansas City picks, because I actually, funny that you said Eric Hosmer earlier, Charles, because I chose Eric Hosmer. I know he's not a current Royal, but he was a Royal, and so that's sort of, and he's a current player, so I'm sort of cheating a little bit, but I honestly had such a hard time with this challenge, because there are a couple good Royals. I would say Whit Merrifield and Salvador Perez, and that's it, sort of. Maybe I'm wrong, Kansas City, I don't know, you tell me. But Eric Hosmer is my current player. And then George Brett, obviously the famous George Brett, third baseman, first baseman, and DH, sort of player extraordinaire, is my retired player. And Reese is so bored by this that she's on her phone or checking her nails or something. So I'll finish up. Okay. I chose these two players because they're both, like, in his day, George Brett was pretty good looking. And Eric Hosmer is pretty good looking. So that was, they don't look similar to each other, but that's, but they're both pretty nice looking players, but they also have a lot of sort of similarities and accolades, and they're also both left-handed. So in total, or I guess George Brett, he batted left and he threw right. So I don't know if he's left-handed, he's probably right-handed, but he bats left. So they're both left-handed batters, I should say. And so they are both World Series champs as well. George Brett won the World Series in 1985, and then 30 years later, Eric Hosmer did it in 2015, and they both won Gold Gloves and Silver Sluggers. So that's basically where the similarities probably end, although they're both first basemen too. George Brett, as I just said, he kind of did it all, and Eric Hosmer just plays first. So same position, they have accolades. And, but I want to give, with George Brett, I wanted to combine Eric Hosmer with one other person. And I just want to note that George Brett looks a lot like a young Woody Harrelson. And it's really funny. And so that's my other doppelganger. So it's sort of a celebrity combined with a player equals George Brett. That's what I'm saying. So anyway, that's it, I think, for me. I know it's a little bit weak on the royal side, but I did my best. It was very hard, guys. This is a very hard challenge that we gave ourselves.
Well, a lot of great royals ended up, like, leaving to go on. Like, or a lot of great players, like, started with the Royals and then left. Like, I guess, yeah. Alex Gordon was really good. Carlos Beltran. Yeah. Who else? Lorenzo Cain was also, he deserves honorable mention. Yes. They won the World Series. He played amazing. And so, yeah, there's a few out there, yes. But Royals are tough, and just wanted to give them a shout out, because even though they've won a World Series in the last decade, they haven't had a lot of talent to go with it and say, you know,
They won, if I remember correctly, I think they won because of their bullpen, and they were sort of the first team to sort of utilize that kind of multiple relief pitcher thing, and that's sort of like, I don't know.
It was also against the Mets, so it was a pitcher duel that whole series when you think about those two teams. And the Royals had also lost the year before to the Giants, so another team with a lot of pitching. It was a very bullpen era and very, you know, pitching dominance, so a lot of pitchers of that time.
The year before wasn't so much the bullpen. The year before was Madison Bumgarner just ruining everybody. That's
still pitching stuff. Yeah, I put him down.
Yeah, that's not relief pitching, Charles. That's a starter. That's a starter going deep into a game.
If you listen to what I said starters and bullpen.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You said it was a bullpen heavy era.
No, I said it was a very starters. I said it was a very pitcher dominant era, is what I said.
Run it back. Play it back. No. I also wanted to add, though.
Because you only named
I called you out.
You only named like three Royals players. That was pretty sad. I'd give some love to Kansas City.
So I was just gonna add that the Dodgers and the Royals also have very similar jerseys. That's it. They're also doppelgangers because the Royals copied the Dodgers lettering of jersey, and they're also both blue and white. So when you see them on TV, sometimes you don't know who's playing because they look the same sometimes when you first turn on the TV. Royals is slightly lighter. I know. Don't tell me. I know that the blue is slightly lighter. Okay. I'm just saying. That's it. I guess we'll be right back for the wrap up.
That's it for us here at All Talk No Bock. Thank you all so much for listening on your Groundhog Day. We hope you enjoy this little flashback and all of our doppelgangers and some new teams that we got into today. It was pretty interesting. All of us learned a little something new. I definitely didn't know a lot of those Orioles players, so I have to do a little bit more research on that. But it was good to know some Pittsburgh Pirates history. Obviously, everyone knows about Clemente and Stargell, but all these other guys, it's good to know your history about these other teams. So it was a fun episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to go check it out on our social media accounts. Go on our Instagram. Our TikTok is now up and running, so make sure to go over there. We got two new posts for you to go check out. Hopefully, we'll have more by then because we're recording on Friday today. So we'll probably have a couple more out there on TikTok for you. But go check out our Twitter as well. That's always up and running. And we got some great new articles coming out every week. So be sure to check that out on our Twitter and our Instagram. And go to alltalknobuck.com for all your favorite All Talk merchandise and apparel. You could get all that via Redbubble and on our website at the bottom of our page. And a lot of great stuff coming up ahead, guys. Make sure to stay tuned for all this great content via our TikTok and our podcast. Heather, anything else that we got that we want to let the fans know about?
We don't have the theme for next week's episode again. We are doing a thing in the off season where we just sort of see where the wind takes us, as you guys know. I think that's everything. Sorry if this episode was sort of scrappy. We put it together. It was harder for us. We had to do lots of research. I think all of us. Go tell us who your doppelganger players are. Maybe they're from different teams. Maybe are there players that look like celebrities that we missed? We know that the guy on the Buffalo Bills looks like Justin Turner. But who else? Maybe send us those. Email us if you want to be on the pod or if you have a question for us. We're always happy to respond to those. DM us on Twitter or Instagram if you want to talk to us there as well. And we're very responsive, and it's been nice getting to know some of you. And that's about it. Yeah, as Charles said, go follow us on all the social media. Go find our merch on Redbubble. We have put a little bit of a pause on the new designs, but they'll be coming, I'll say within a month, they'll be coming. So keep an eye out. And I guess that's everything. Have a great Groundhog's Day. Hopefully the groundhog sees his shadow or doesn't see a shadow. I don't really know the rules. I think if it sees its shadow, there's more winter or there's more spring, or I don't really know. I guess it depends on what kind of weather you guys like. But I hope that he does or doesn't see his shadow. Is it a boy? I guess because his name is Phil. But should I be that gender reductive? I don't know. Let's think about that. All things to think about on Groundhog Day. Goodbye, everybody.